Hello and welcome to the Upgrade School Marketing Podcast, the podcast for busy school marketers. I am Matt Soule. I'm the Director of Marketing Communications at Chapel Hill Chauncey Hall School.
And I'm Angie Ward, founder of Enroll Media Group, a digital marketing agency for schools.
Angie, we got the tagline in there, the podcast for busy school marketers. You're a fan of the tagline.
I got to say, I came up with it and I'm not really a tagline person, but
you're biased. Yeah, that doesn't count. But it's true. And it is the season of busy school marketers. I think every season the season of busy school marketers, Angie?
I think especially in the fall, though. The fall is especially busy.
Yeah, that's true. And you get to see it because right now, what are you busy with mostly?
Open house marketing. It's all about getting families to campus. So a lot of social media ads, Google ads, Microsoft ads, LinkedIn ads, a lot of advertising to really get parents to schools at this time of year.
And after that change, so when you know, the October, November open houses happen, what's the shift that you're working with schools? Like what are they pushing at that point, really?
A lot of lead nurturing strategies at that point to re-engage them through emails as well as ads, and trying to get them to maybe take that personal tour if they didn't make it to the fall admissions events, info sessions, and then of course the application deadline, and really starting to promote that.
That's great. I think a good future topic, and I know you work with schools on it, is landing pages. As you know, as we get out of open house season and talk about more generally bringing people in and informing them, you know, I know in talking to you, that's something that schools have found really successful. So if anybody out there would like to hear more about how schools are creating successful landing pages, reach out to us. Or if you've created a successful landing page and you'd like to talk, I think that would be a great future topic for schools to hear about. But what are we talking about today, Angie?
We are going to be talking about storytelling and how schools can stand out online. And our guest today is Emily Critella. She's the founder and owner of Cursive Content, where she serves as a strategic storyteller and content marketing specialist exclusively for independent schools, private schools, colleges, and universities. With nearly 20 years of experience in marketing and communications, Emily helps school marketers craft powerful stories that attract ideal families, increase enrollment, strengthen school communities, and grow institutional influence.
That's great. I think we can't talk about storytelling enough. I think it is the most important thing. You know, we talk about all the work you're doing to promote open houses and to get people on campus and to do all this messaging to people. And this is really about what is it you're saying and how is it making you stand out and attracting people to your school and seeing the value in it. So let's jump right in with this talk with Emily. Emily, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
That's awesome. You're very welcome. And I just wanted to say, you know, your article you wrote on NAIS, how to bring school storytelling to life, was really great. Jumped out at me. If anybody hasn't read that, we'll link that in the show notes here, but they can check it at NAIS's fall 2025 issue. How's like the response been for since you published that?
So it's been really great, and it was a really fun article to write, just kind of forcing me to sit down and think about what schools need to know right now about storytelling, and in a way that I tried to make it as approachable as possible. I heard from, you know, one school that really liked that there were actionable steps in it, not just saying how important storytelling is. And so I was trying to balance that, you know, the idea behind how we can all be better storytellers within our schools and kind of harness the power of storytelling and all of the amazing things that are happening in our walls every day, and not just have this be, you know, some like broad idea, and like, what are the, some of the steps that we can take to start being better school storytellers?
Yeah. And I think that's something I've talked a lot about and really try here at Chapel Hill Chauncey Hall is in storytelling. And I think you hit all the important points. And one of the first things you talked about was like the paradox and the kind of the initial hurdle that schools have, which is some similarities they have. So can you talk a little bit about like that hurdle that schools have when they start to look at other schools and think about themselves and what they do?
Sure. I think sometimes it's hard for schools to kind of see what they have that's really special because they're living it every day. I mean, I know a lot of them know that they are, providing a really great experience to their families. They have all of these different programs. Their students are happy. They have these great outcomes. But when it comes down to trying to put that into words and describing it from like an organizational standpoint, like this is who we are, this is what we're about, this is the promise that we can make for our families that are the right fit for this community, that this is what your student will get from being part of our community. It's really hard because they default to, some language that feels familiar and things that they've seen before. And they could look at a peer school down the road and say, well, they're doing some of this great stuff too. And we're how can we say we're better? And so it gets into almost like that imposter syndrome sometimes too, of how can we say that we are the best at doing this when there's so many people doing this? And so that's where schools can kind of get tripped up into really putting a stake in the ground and defining, what their core story is and what they are great at, what their families love about them, what they deserve to be known for. And so my goal is, and I've been working with schools for a really long time, I've never seen one school where I'm like, well, you could just swap stories with that one. You guys are like basically exactly the same. Every school has its own story. It just takes some work to and bravery to kind of put a stake in the ground and say, this is who we are and this is what we're about.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And you make a compelling point that school marketing often centers around the school itself rather than the families they serve. And so, what's the biggest mindset shift that schools need to make when moving from the here's what we offer language over to the here's how we see you or serve you and your family language? And how can schools go about collecting and using that more authentic, family-centric language?
Sure. Yeah. I think when a school does the work of trying to define who they are and what they're about, it's often in that institutional language. So it's the things that we're used to seeing, your mission statement, your vision, your like values, your philosophy. And that's always coming from the school's voice. Like, this is our mission. This is what we're working towards. This is our vision of who we're going to be. This is our philosophy of how we educate students. And so what I try to do from like a marketing standpoint is to say, all right, so what? So what does that mean to me as a mom? Like, because your mission is this, so what will my child get out of it? So it's just a mind shift a little bit for schools to think about making that bridge from what you're working on towards what that means as an end outcome to your students. And they can always do it, but it's more from that internal marketing language to what I call audience-first storytelling. So really kind of centering your families and your students' cares, concerns, wants, and needs, and making that what you're leading with. And then explaining how your school kind of addresses some of those things that they're looking for.
I think that's important too about in school and admissions and marketing, you think of like stages that people are at, they're an inquiry and they're just learning about your school, or they've toured and applied. And I think one of the things that has been a big shift for me personally is thinking about the audiences and what they want to hear at certain stages. Like an audience coming in for the very first time wants something very different than an audience coming in for a revisit day who already
Yes.
knows you, or the audience coming in for, our boarding school move-in day or whatever that is. Like, I feel like that shift for schools to like audience first is important in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yep. And it's coming up with almost like those reasons to believe at every step, So, and that's part of that school story building process. Like, if you're looking at how you want to craft the foundational language that you use to talk about your school, it has to address each of those steps in that audience experience so that you're kind of framing who you are, what you're really good at, what your differentiators are, what big promises you're making to families about that experience. And then at every step of the way, what are some of those reasons to believe that you can give them that you're delivering on what you're promising to them? And so if you do all that work and come up with that foundational language and agree on that foundational language, then It's so much easier to develop materials to support that or talking points for your tours. But it starts with figuring out what that core language is.
Yeah, and so speaking on that, you talk about the promise, and I think a big part that stuck out to me in the article is you share the schools you've worked with, like their big promise, you call it, like Loomis Chafee, Make Today Matter, and Schnick, what is it, Empowering Dyslexic Learners from Day One. So you make these really bold statements there. So I just wonder if you can kind of go a little bit into the process of how do you work with a school in making those promises. Like how do you and what do you look out for? Are there kind of missteps that you want to avoid or things, but like a little bit inside of how you're making those big sticky promises.
So I think of when I work with a school on trying to figure out what their big promise is, it's almost like a creative umbrella that kind of pulls all of the story elements together. And I have schools think about it from like a family standpoint of if they come to your website, because lots of times the big promise will show up on, the first, like the headline on the homepage of their website. And so if they have, your website up and they have some of the other schools that they're considering up in different tabs, what is going to really connect with your dream families, those right fit people that will, be a great fit for your community? What is going to grab their attention right away and say, this is exactly what I want for my child? At the end of this whole experience of them being in part of a school, I want them to do what, And so for Loomis Chafee, it was, all of their families wanted their kids to kind of start having that impact on the world. They're very focused on, being really engaged and involved now, not waiting for college to like start making their impact as a human. And so having that big promise of like make today matter, when they get to this school, every day is going to have an opportunity for them to make a difference, for them to start working on who they are and who they're becoming. So for those families, when they see a promise like this, that at this school, you're going to be able to do that starting on day one, that resonates with them and it at least gets them to kind of continue reading and continue exploring the school. But you want that promise to say, what is that outcome that we can promise no matter what the kid is interested in, whatever path they go down when they're here, what will they leave us with? And what can we, tell our families to expect?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's great. So in the article, you describe keeping a story simple as a very difficult exercise in restraint and intention. So what do you say to school leaders who worry that simplifying their message means that they could be leaving out, key important details about their programs, their traditions, and what makes their school special?
I have a like an old example of what I use with a lot of my clients is if I was to just hand you this pen that's in my hand, you could easily grasp it and hold it and we can continue talking. If I had a stack of pens in my hand, which would be kind of weird, but if and I just threw them all at you, you'd catch like maybe one or two, you'd be mad at me for like throwing everything at you, that'd be very rude. But you'd only be able to catch a couple things. And the same thing is true with your messaging. So families can come to your website or look at your brochure or see, some kind of communication from you, and they can't grasp everything at once. It's impossible. So that's why it's really important to develop a kind of like a messaging hierarchy and a framework for your story so that you make it as simple as possible for your potential families to understand what you're all about, connect with it on a meaningful level, and then drill down deeper into layers as they move through that process. So it's not necessarily saying we're never going to mention this program or we're never going to get into this detail. It's like that detail comes later. Once they kind of understand what we're about, what our philosophy is, what our differentiators are, what our outcomes are. So it's really more about almost building that pyramid where we start with the big promise at the top, like this is the big amazing outcome, and then how do we do that? So then we get into different areas of expertise and how How can we claim those areas of expertise? Well, here's our reasons to believe in that. Here's examples of what we do. Here's the different programs. And so it's not leaving it out. It's more simplifying it for everyone to understand, no matter where they are in that process of deciding where the right fit is for them as a family.
I love that analogy, the pens. I feel like there's some parenting parallels here. I
Yes,
can
that's
really
probably where it came
think that through.
from.
Thank you.
You work with these schools and you come up with the big promise and you keep it simple. Then they just print it on a view book and seal it up and they're all done, right? That's it.
Totally. Yeah.
Done. I guess would be a fear of, somebody I think sitting in your seat is like, that's the beginning, right? You've like defined it now. Now get out there. So you talked about, bringing it to life. So what does that mean for schools? Like, how do they do that?
Yeah. So I think there's a difference between like your school story and school storytelling. Your school story is that hierarchy I was just talking about, that structure, like deciding what language we're going to use to describe our school, to talk about who we are, the personality that we're going to portray. And then your school storytelling is finding those real examples of things happening in your school that bring that story to life, that show your philosophy in action, that say, if one of your big promises is that, and I'm going to go back into one of the old common phrases of robust academics or rigorous academics, if that's what you want to lead with and that's your big promise, okay, so now show that. Don't just say, we have robust academics here. Show what that looks like at your school that's different. And that's the school storytelling part. It's bringing in the human element. It is, talking to alumni and sharing their stories and their journey. It's all the details that really do make your school unique. But a story is never stagnant. You can't just say this is who we are without continuously proving that that's who you are.
And I know you talk about channels too, and I want to add one success that we had with this was we did a series called Create Your Story at Chapel Hill, and it started as like a social media video series where students would tell, 1 minute to 90 second stories about something that they have accomplished, and we kind of carefully thought about what we were trying to communicate to do that, but we also then were talking about again, like different audiences and what people want to hear at certain times. But when we had people on campus for a revisit day, we got those students together and we actually had them just tell those stories live. And it wasn't as polished and it was, a little rougher, but like we were looking into the audience and seeing, parents with their students like tearing up and just feeling it there in the moment. So I think sometimes people might be like, oh, well, I'm not a video editor that can put together these things, or, we don't have the blog or capacity to do this. I would say that just that, like working with them and crafting that and having them do it live is an option that I've seen be maybe the most powerful way we've done it.
I love that. And I love what you said, feeling it in the moment. Because, yeah, you don't want to get too, there's so many different marketing tactics and storytelling now tactics. You don't want to take the authenticity out of it, right? So it's like hearing from students unscripted in their own words, that is what's gonna, really connect with parents because they're seeing kids that, they might admire and say, wow, can my kid be standing here in 4 years and talking to families in this way? So anytime that you can really authentically share that emotion about what's happening in your schools, it's gonna do more than just, making a claim ever.
And that's exactly it. It's like the relatability of it. And that's where it being imperfect is great. Like kids aren't perfect. Nobody's perfect. And to, sometimes have somebody up there who is so polished that the parent who is in the audience can't see that connection to be like, oh, I could see my kid getting to there. Sometimes those imperfections help that in a lot of ways to say like, oh, this is a real kid who started in a position where mine is, and I can see them getting to there. So,
Oh,
yeah, I
that's
love
so
that.
true. Emily, our final question for you. You end the article by saying that storytelling isn't about being louder, but braver. So, for a school that knows they're different, but maybe is afraid to lean into that, maybe because they're worried about alienating some families, what would you say to give them that courage to be braver?
I think, and this is especially important, I think, with AI now, which of course is a great tool for schools to, can help really streamline some tactics and some work that has to be done in marketing and communications. But if you're not brave with telling your story, if you're not confident in being able to say, this is really what we can promise you, this is what we deliver, this is our personality as a school, you're going to just sound like everyone else. And so it really is doing an injustice to what's happening in your school. You might not be the right fit for someone who doesn't agree with your big promise, but that's better to find out now than, down the road. So I think it can be scary to start trying to encapsulate everything in as few words as possible, but you have to trust in your expertise and your unique perspective from, your school, and know that you have something important to say and that you have something different to say, and believe that the right people are going to be attracted to that.
Makes sense.
Emily, thank you so much. Yeah, that was a lot. thank you so much for sharing all of this, writing the article, coming on to share all of this with everyone. I think these are some of the most important. We talk a lot about on here about all the different tactics on how to get messages out, and it can be through digital ads and through SEO and through all these things. But this is about having something actually meaningful to say. And I think it is the most important thing that schools need to be focused on. And I just wanted to know, if people want to hear more from you or get in contact with you, how can they find you?
Yeah, I love connecting with people on LinkedIn. So I'm Emily Curtella. And you can find me at cursivecontent.com.
Awesome. And we'll
Wonderful.
link all of that on the show notes. So Upgrade School Marketing, if you go to the show there, all the links to that will be on there, as well as to the amazing NAIS article. Emily,
Thanks.
thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you have a great rest of the fall. And then we get to talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks again for having me.
Thank you again to Emily for joining us on here. Incredible tips on how schools can define their message to really make it come to life. And I really think this is something that I'm taking to heart, and I'm always thinking about storytelling and how to stand out and be different. And I think, every school marketing person that I talk with is on that same boat. So this is really, really a helpful way to go through that. And for anybody who would like to dig in more on the NAIS article that Emily wrote, we're going to link that on the show notes. So go to Upgrade School Marketing, go to the show, and that'll be a link right there where you can see the full article.
Remember to follow us on LinkedIn and subscribe to be the first to know about future Upgrade School Marketing podcasts. We are the podcast for busy school marketers.
It's great. And in the words of Emily, be brave, everybody. Be brave in your school marketing, and we'll see you next time.